used to be a fun house, but now it's full of evil clowns. It's time to stop the countdown. I'm gonna burn it down, down, down. I'm gonna burn it.
Created in a lab by scientists with nothing better to do. This is Ward and Al on Canada Talks.
You are listening to Ward and Al. I am Al.
I am Ward.
No, you're not. Listener Vinny tweets in, where is Ward? You know what, Vinny? Not here.
None of your beeswax, Vinny.
Vinny, I adore you, but you don't deserve to know. No, I'm just joking. Ward had to, his kid is sick.
Oh, bless. Oh.
She's not that sick.
No.
But his daycare
his
has really,
anyway.
No. It's not his kid. listen, with the size of her noggin, it's for sure his kid. He, you know, his daycare for the kid is so strict.
Yeah,
that
they
if
have
they
to
have,
be.
Yeah, so if she has like half a symptom, she's not allowed to go in the next day.
If she even looks like she wants to scratch parts of her, they might not let her in.
Yeah.
If kids are itchy or sticky.
Yeah,
or
the rules are so
more
strict.
More alert, less alert. There's issues. They go.
Yeah. So.
I smell peanuts.
Oh, no.
So, yes, he is not here today. Richard Ryder is sitting
I'm
in
barren,
with me.
I'm barren. There are no children at home. Yeah. I am constantly.
Me
you,
either.
You literally
we have that
can you come
common.
In today? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
That's the sad
I know.
Answer.
I had to message Richard this morning and be like,
7:30 in the morning. And you knew I'd be up.
I didn't
I was
know
alert.
You would be up.
I was happening. I didn't answer you right away. I wanted you to worry.
Yeah. I panicked. And joining us now, and I believe Ward has asked her to come in tomorrow as well because yeah. he has not seen her in a long time. And but we talked earlier this week with Martha O'Neill, one of the founders and the executive producer of the She Dot Festival here in Toronto. And joining us now, a comedian in town for just said festival.
Yes.
Please welcome to the show, Liz Russo.
I'm Liz Russo.
That works out. Imagine you were like, that's not my name.
Yeah.
I'd be like, wait,
you're Ward. I'm
it's
not.
Shade.
It, yeah.
My name's Shade.
It's, we just had a guy on whose name was Shade.
Sexy.
Yeah, they were
sexy.
Very cool.
His nickname
I was
Indy. His real name was Shade. We still need to mop up
well,
the floor.
Well, I'm glad it's not Shadow because
that was what they were going to call him.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lie. That's also a pretty awesome name.
Oh, Shadow. Oh. Yes, he works.
That's just like J-Lo's boyfriend, Casper. I'm like, no.
Okay, no, Casper is not.
No.
We all know.
Casper double knots his running shoelaces. We don't like Casper.
That's the association you make with this? I just think of the
tightly
comic
wound.
Book.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I'm like, so he's a little round-headed ghost? I don't get it. yeah, sorry, that's where I
that's
go.
That's where it's at.
Okay, I'm weird like that. Now, Liz,
yes.
Tell us about you. You are an American.
I am.
Where's your gun?
Well, yeah, at the border, it's like, do you have anything to protect yourself? Do you have any guns? I'm like, do I need it?
Yeah, why? What's happening in Canada?
I hear good things about Canada. Yeah. I didn't know.
You don't
know.
Need a gun in Canada.
No,
yeah.
No.
Come on, bud. Why would you need a gun up here?
And he's like, what do you do? I'm like, comedian. Oh, don't. Oh, why did I say
my
that?
My tongue
to him?
Is sharp enough. I can cut.
Where are you from?
I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Lies. No one grows up in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's
wow.
true.
Wow, it's a beautiful
true.
State.
And I stayed there.
Wow.
And now I just, I do the road a lot and, you know, road gig it and, you know, so.
How long have you been doing comedy?
Oh, about 15 years.
God bless you.
16 maybe. Since 2000, I graduated college and thought maybe, oh, well, maybe I don't want to be a lawyer. I'll try comedy instead.
So it wasn't your first thing.
My parents were thrilled.
I bet.
Yeah.
So did you pass the bar?
No, I was pre-law, so it was that
okay. So it was the
fork in the road where it's like, do I go on and pursue
quit
politics,
law? That's when you
law?
Quit it, right?
Yeah. I'm like, I think I just want to play a lawyer on TV.
Hey, make more money.
Yeah.
I mean, not the not for the whole thing, but when you are working as a lawyer on TV, it's more money.
I probably would have been a public defender, which I think pays the same as comedy.
Yeah.
I think it might even pay less.
Or social work, which
bigger
is all, I also
though.
Do that too. I'm really allergic to success and being rich.
Oh, bless
you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's, you have to be to stay in comedy. even though people think that like we're all gonna hit a bank. Right, we're like,
I am not that delusional.
Yeah.
Not quite.
I did not with comedy, but I was an actor first and all that kind of stuff. Yes. And like when I was a teenager, I was like, obviously by the time I'm 30, I'm going to be an A-list star in Hollywood.
I'll have an Oscar and an Emmy.
Yeah, I feel like I can never go to a high school reunion because they'll all be like, how's that Hollywood thing working out? And I'll be like, my brother's doing
well, my successful radio gig has gotten in the way. Pardon me.
Yeah, it got in the way in my mid-30s. Well, listen, we're talking about Liz.
Liz.
So basically, Pennsylvania's home base.
Home base. I've been doing comedy for about 16 years when I graduated. And then I hit some bumps in the road, took me out of comedy. That's what happens when you go to jail and rehab. And then,
That's what happened when I went to rehab, too.
Really?
Yes.
I was still doing comedy. It was just for a very select captive audience. Yeah, but yeah. Wow. I can't put that really on a resume as much, but yeah.
What did you go to jail for?
Second offense DUI, which I'm really happy they let me into Canada because I hear your DUI laws are...
It can be quite harsh. I've known a lot of people that got stopped at the border for that.
Yeah. He didn't even ask. Now, that was back in 2005. So, I was starting to sort of peak in comedy and then...
How long were you in jail for that?
For a year.
Second offense DUI. Wow.
And your listeners can't see me, but I look hardcore, don't I?
You are one of the most beautiful female comics next to Allison that I have ever met in person.
Do you know what I like? I like that Richard just even said my name in the same sentence as yours in terms of that. Because I actually have some questions.
You're in the middle. It's a nice sandwich.
Later.
Yeah.
So a year in jail and then rehab after jail?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. So unfortunately, I think if it were flipped, I wouldn't have maybe gone to prison.
Right.
But because it didn't really rehabilitate me. It just made me more angry and want to drink more. I was on 4 years of state parole. Pennsylvania's tough with laws. Yeah. Things got messed up. It doesn't happen to everyone
No.
So I think God just wanted to give me more material for the act.
But
I think that's pretty much the way
that
works.
Do you think you'd be here now if it hadn't happened? You are now. I don't mean in general. I just mean where you are.
Like Sirius XM Studios.
In this studio with us.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. No, I really do think it helped shape who I am. And now I'm sober 5 years, 3 months. And I talk about that in the act. I talk a little bit about the jail stuff. But regular audiences don't really get it. And they look at me and then they just think I'm making it up. Or they think,
do you ever go to like Orange Is the New Black viewing parties and scream, it would never happen? And then they look at you like, what's going on, Liz?
Well, it's funny because like, I'll look at it and be like, oh my gosh, we had the same blanket. How cute. I was like, we had the same toilet sink combo. It looks just like that. And people are just like,
get away from me.
You'll note even Richard and I, our first reaction was like, wait, are you being serious?
Yeah, we didn't know. I thought it was just a joke. Yeah, rehab and jail. Oh, you're so cute.
Right. And so I think to breach that sort of topic and for a regular audience is a little difficult. I'm hoping maybe I'll write maybe more of a one act to kind of get drama in there as well. It's just so I have a little more. I mean, I'm headlining more so I can develop a little bit.
You could do a one-woman show and call it Why I Gotta Be Orange.
Yeah, true. I actually want to call it Donuts Were My Gateway Drug.
Oh, that was my drag queen in high school.
Food and donuts. Booze are my, that's it. Food and booze. That's all I've ever done. So, I went to fat camp, which is a lot like donut rehab. I've had an interesting life.
It doesn't stay on your
far.
Permanent record like a jail. Jail.
No. Just stays in my mind.
Oh, God, fat camp. Bless you.
Yeah.
And when you, you talk about being sober. Do you talk about rehab on stage?
Not really. No, probably just more the process of getting sober, like dating while I'm sober in my late 30s. It's just we're the
really
same age,
need
I think.
To have alcohol for a date.
Like, you know, it's 30s. Just like, I mean, I feed it to them. I make sure they're not the alcoholic. Sure. They can have plenty. Get wasted. Let's do this, you know. But yeah, I'm not used to being conscious, so it's odd.
Mama likes you slurry. Come on.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I have tried to do material about rehab and it's I'm not going to compare it to jail, but it is one of those subjects where when you start to, it's way funnier to me than it is to them. Yeah. And so when you say rehab, all of a sudden they go, oh, that's serious though. Yeah. And it's like, no, but also guys, it's crazy in there.
Well, even when I talk about getting sober, I just did a show in Iowa, and Iowa is the only state in the U.S. so far that has booed me, like outright booed
you.
You're a quitter. Boo. You know, like, and they're like, do you think you're better than us? And I'm like, you live in Iowa. Yeah, I kind of do. But yeah, no.
But then
again,
they are in Iowa.
Right.
Drinking's probably what's keeping holding it together for
if
them.
If I moved there, I'd probably relapse. But
no offense to anyone in Iowa, but I have been.
Yeah, it's just, but that's the only state. Usually people are pretty happy for me, but they do take on a serious, like they don't want to feel guilty for drinking in a comedy club.
No, yeah.
So when
course.
Someone's bettering themselves, you know, they take it on as like, oh, well, maybe I should look at my own issues. And then it takes on a whole nother, you know, level.
Which is the fun
and
part.
Then I go back to let's do a dick joke and then oh you like that one, all right, you forgot that I was being serious. Cool.
But it's interesting too in your everyday life when you just going back to, and I'll finish the point I just started making once we go back post jail.
Sure.
Did you, or while you were in jail, like did you, was that when rehab started becoming something you wanted to do, or was it court mandated that you had to go? Or
well, it's funny you should ask. So,
or did you get out of jail? And
I got out of jail.
What'd you do?
Oh, I got 2 public drunkennesses.
You are a pro.
I do things in twos. I don't know. Maybe it's like an OCD thing. I have to get 2 DUIs, 2 public drunkenness charges, and then of course I'm on parole. So I violated parole. I have to go into the office and say, "Hi, I screwed up," you know. And he's like, "Well, yeah," and then you go back to jail because that's what we
parole
do.
Is,
That when people violate parole, we send
back.
We're going to send you to state prison now. And
ooh.
And so I was like, "Well, is there anything else? And how about rehab? Do you have insurance? Can you get to rehab tomorrow?" And I said, "All right, I haven't tried that yet." So I drove myself drunk to rehab.
Well, bless you.
Yeah. With a 6-pack in the trunk in case it didn't work out.
Bless you.
Yeah.
And then it did. But so it's something that I definitely, you know, was kind of forced, not forced, because I made the choice. I could have run. I could have done something else.
Well,
stupid.
Obviously the universe was sending you a message, you know, because you...
And it was
to
time.
Have it
and
all
I,
happen.
Yeah. And then I just finally surrendered. I was like, all right, that
I'm not
I get
fighting
it.
Anymore.
Yeah, that's let's just, you know, I wasn't who I wanted to be. I didn't think like, and I wasn't doing comedy. And I think that was making me really sad. And I started drinking more. I just didn't, I feel like I didn't fit in my soul anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. So, it's the best thing that ever happened to me.
It's interesting. So. I had a kid.
And my comedy.
It's amazing how it gets better. I had a kid ask me if quitting drugs, if it like helped me in my career.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, because I have one now.
Yeah.
I was the same. I hit a certain point and then just threw it all away.
Yeah.
And at some point you have to choose, right?
Yeah.
Do I want to live with the love of my life being, you know, drugs or booze, or do I want to try and
make
live
you
my dream?
The love of your life? Yeah.
And I was a late bloomer too, so I didn't grow up drinking, or I was little Miss Goody Two Shoes, you know, and I didn't start drinking till after college. I actually had the gastric bypass surgery, so hence the donut fat camp thing.
Right,
so I lost 130 pounds. I couldn't.
Fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah. I gained it back and then lost it again.
Oh,
but
please.
That's the whole
I gain and lose it. Like I
can gain and lose it before I leave the station today. Yeah. It happens so easy.
I can poop a whole pant size out. Boom. Moving on.
Do you know? I saw a link.
Ridiculous.
There is a new toilet seat that actually calculates how much weight you lose after
a poop?
Yes.
Oh.
How great is that?
How close to a
Christmas.
Living child was your poop? 4 pounds.
Well, that's what I say.
Could have played ball.
Yeah. I say that. I'm like, well, you know, I lost over 100 pounds. It's like I crapped out a 5th grader, you know?
A little easier to crap out a 5th grader.
Would it be easier? Would it
as
be
long,
easier?
As long as you don't have to raise
they're,
it.
They're squishy at that age still.
Are they?
Yeah, they still haven't, nothing's solidified yet.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to...
That fontanel still, got to watch it.
I'm going to disagree with you on that.
All right,
but
all right.
whatever floats your boat.
You're tiny too. Like that's when you say you lost 130 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because how tall are you? 5'4"?
5'7".
Oh, are you that tall?
Because yeah, I'm wearing my sneaks today.
That's a lot of weight on a small frame.
Yeah. And you know, and then so I had lost the weight, but then my mind was still the same.
That's
so
the thing.
I still lived in my little fat girl brain and things, I was getting different attention and the whole, so I couldn't use food anymore. Mm. So I used alcohol instead and it wasn't processing in my system the same way. I was blacking out all the time, all that kind of stuff.
And that's why you're having these issues.
And and then I definitely think it's in my genes. It's, you know, genetic, the alcoholism. So it just was, it wasn't until I was like 24, 25, you know, that I started drinking and realizing that, geez, now I'm an alcoholic. And then it took a while to undo that. And then, you know, I gained the weight, lost it back in jail. Cause that's, I don't suggest that diet.
No.
Totally gross. But yeah. So, and then I gained it again. And, you know, so now I gave up the alcohol. I gave up gluten, dairy, soy, eggs, hopes, dreams, happiness. Yeah. And
you sound like a lesbian. I'm just going to say it. I'm just saying it.
I do have two cats.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
How's that deck out back coming along?
That's great. That's great.
Why did you give up all the other things?
I found out I had some tests done. I wasn't losing the weight anymore. And I didn't understand my body was just, I couldn't process I was getting stomach aches and headaches and my skin was breaking out. And so speaking of poop, so I sent my poop away to get tested.
See your poop, they're serious.
They're like, let's find out what's wrong. Anymore. Yeah, and I actually sent it with a Christmas card because I thought
that was
funny.
Did you wrap the box?
Nice. It's a picture of me and my two cats. I'm like, someone's going to get a present in the lab.
Guess whose poop this is?
Yeah. It's nice to match a face with a poop. You know? Because the people at the lab are probably live a very strange life.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
they would love that.
Yeah, so I found out I was like really sensitive, allergic. You know, not so that much that I would die, but once I gave it up, it came off, and I've kept it off now for a few years. So it's been good. But yeah, it's really kind of boring. I kind of want to punch myself in the face sometimes. It's like, I'll have some water, some lemon, and salad. Is that kale? Ooh, delicious.
I gave up eating chips this year, potato chips. Mm. I haven't had potato chips in over 119 days. What are we at? 28, 27?
Wow.
28. So 119 days as of today. Somebody said to me,
I like that you're counting.
Well, I would have had chips 119 times.
Yeah.
Like they're going, how big a deal is that really? How often would you have had chips 119 times easily?
Just regular chips?
No, the big bags. You know,
no, but like just,
I like kettle cooked plain.
Let's talk about chips.
Kettle cooked are the best.
The best.
I don't even know why we're making regular chips anymore.
But you know what? With the other chips with flavor, like All Dressed or any of that, the chemicals were burning the roof of my mouth. Ooh. Yeah. So that's why I went to Naked Kettle Chips. And then I like a dip, but I use yogurt because I can't bring myself to use sour cream. I just can't do it.
Do you plain yogurt or do you mix in some of the onion soup mix in there?
Well, I have done, but again, it's too much sodium.
Too much work.
It's too much sodium.
Oh, yeah, the sodium. That's the problem. Good for you, though.
Oh, please. I'm still a huge house.
stop it.
Listen, you're a brick house. And but no, it's hard. This is the thing. And what I'm super into is like slow, sustainable change.
Yes. Yeah. Right? One thing at a time.
One thing at a time. Yeah. So you know what? You want to get healthier? You're like, wow, you know what I do every day? Eat a bag of chips. Because a lot of people would go, good for you.
And you know what it
you
is? It's
chips.
Not that I really like to eat chips or anything, but it's whenever you go shopping, whether you go to Winners, Shoppers Drug Mart, Dollar Store, you have to go through
you
that gauntlet
at all
of
the
hate.
Best places.
I know. Those are the places I go. That's,
the candy
that's where
bars,
I hunt.
The chips,
and you go through that gauntlet
soda,
of hate, and it's all cheap. And I'm Scottish.
I know.
So if it's cheap, I have to buy it. And if it's on sale, no calories. There's no calories.
Oh, is that
50% off? 50% less calories.
Good to know.
And then if you drop it on the floor,
I didn't know that was
gone.
A rule.
Yeah, it's how I work. but so I stopped eating candy and potato chips at the beginning of the year.
Small things add up to the big picture. It really does. There's a level of diabetes
in my family, and I don't have any problems with it, but I just figure don't push it.
Yeah, right.
You know, I sit a lot. If I'm going to sit a lot, I shouldn't be eating carbs. Just saying.
But that's the thing. One healthy choice at a time, one day at a time.
I'm sitting,
you know what
not
I mean?
Healthy.
Just the choice
eating
today
salad,
not to pick
healthy.
Up. It's all the same stuff. It is. You know, it really is.
Although Susan does point out that for Richard, like, what do we do? Because, like, we can't give you a 30-day chip. Joke.
I'm just saying you can
anonymously. That was an anonymous joke.
You can dip it in yogurt. I'll suck the yogurt off. And it's not a real chip. And then I have a friend who's a very healthy chef, and she's like, "Oh, I can make you chips in coconut oil." Blah, blah. It's like, I don't want to eat it. I just don't want to eat it. Like my
Once
mom.
You start, it's like a downward spiral.
Yeah, abstinence can be. I find, you know, even with like like Diet Coke for me was a really big deal. That aspartame just got to me. I went through probably a worse detox from Diet Coke than I did from booze. Because
my mom
was
a huge pop drinker.
And it's just, you have to, once you just, but if I go back to it and I just have one, it's like, oh, no, then I want another one. Then I want another
Coke
one.
Zero.
You know, whether it's today, tomorrow, and whatever, you know, so.
Coke Zero does a cherry Coke. It's Coke Zero. Mm-hmm. When I'm having a day where I just want to have something that's not good for me, it's not. It's still aspartame, but it's cherry. Not fructose. But it's a cherry Coke.
I know.
Cherry
I
Coke
haven't.
Zero.
I'll tell you. I'm not a Coke person. I'm a Pepsi person.
Oh yeah.
But I haven't. Yeah, I haven't had Pepsi in I don't know how long. I don't know how many years.
I actually find water refreshing. I'm one of those people that
now I'm obsessed with water. Yeah. But at first, like giving up Pepsi, I was like cutting off my arm, right? Like I just.
Yeah.
It just tastes so good once it hits your lips. Right? But it's those, like, you make a choice. Do I want to drink a Pepsi every day, or do I want to feel better?
Yeah. Also, I think when you have dietary restrictions, as you do, Liz, I think that the thing is now you have to watch, like, you can't just go anywhere and eat.
Yeah.
Do you know, so it
and on the
it
road
helps.
As a comic.
Ugh, but it helps. You have to make those choices now.
So we are speaking to Liz Russo, comedian, who is in town for the fabulous She Dot Festival here in Toronto. So
ladies.
What do you do? Do you go to grocery stores in every town you go in? Do you have a cooler in your car for vegetables? Like
I should. I should.
These are great suggestions, Allison.
You know, it's so
I think
hard.
About these things and don't do them.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, I feel better.
The biggest thing is the convenience that you give up when you start eating healthy. That and all the money that you have and probably your firstborn because it's so expensive. But it's I have to stay away from the bar food late at night. So I hope, you know, I'll have some protein bars I'll take with me or, you know, whatever. Or I'll try to eat a salad with some grilled chicken on it or whatever.
Right.
But
and you know
when I'm driving, I just want
to
eat a taco. You know what I mean? And
the easiest thing to eat is an apple. And I'll tell you, when I have an apple, I'm like, invent this? It's so delicious.
Yeah.
But pulling me backwards to her friends to get me to put that in my face in the first place. Like, it's the last thing I want to eat is an apple.
Yeah.
We should want them. Nature's snack.
That's a good snack.
It's
but, like,
good,
you know,
it's got its own wrapper.
You want some
you
dinner,
eat the wrapper.
Whatever it is. It's like, well.
You want cheese and meat and you want it melting and there should be gravy.
Delicious.
And there should be
and possibly
gravy.
A bread side.
Dip some apples
for
in gravy.
Supping up.
Now,
well, I gained
I'm
3 pounds
so
just talking
right
about
now.
It.
I know. Yeah. Well, let's switch off of food.
All right.
For
all right.
A bit.
All right. Before we kill us, kill an op.
I'll talk all day about food. I'm such an addict.
We can be friends then.
We can all be friends. Now, I want to go back to because Richard was mentioning how beautiful you are, and I find it interesting. Thanks. What do you feel like there is a kind of a reaction, whether it's positive or negative or a benefit or a consequence to being extremely beautiful when you're a woman who tells jokes?
I find that it's just weird hearing that question. I'm just like, who are you talking to?
Well, no, let's just preface this by saying there's a lot of ugly ladies in Canada doing. No, I'm kidding. I'm so kidding.
Why did you look at me when you
said
it?
No, because you're the only other woman in the room.
What's your Twitter handle?
I hate women, apparently.
Well, no, like when you came in the room, Richard and I were like, listen, I've seen a picture of you, but we all know pictures.
I didn't know you were a comic until you said it. I'm like, you're a comic.
I know. You came in the room and Richard and I were both like, what?
Well, that's so sweet. Like, that's so nice. I don't see myself that way. So that probably, and it does affect my comedy a little bit because when I do self-deprecating humor.
People don't get it.
People don't know what you're talking about.
They're like, I was playing a casino and it was a full house. And there's just one lady, like after one of my jokes, she just stood up and she yelled, "You're okay." I was
Adorable.
I was like, adorable. My therapist, everybody. Like, I was like, I know I am. That's why I do this stuff. I just don't take myself that seriously. I'm not.
Did you do comedy when you were heavier?
I did.
Yeah, so it's different. Did you have to change your material?
Actually, why I got into comedy is because I was heckled for being fat at an improv show. I did improv before I did stand-up, and I was in college, and someone yelled out, it was a celebrity game show, whatever, and someone said, oh, she's the fat girl from Wilson Phillips, Carney Wilson, you know. And
so they didn't mean it as a dig, but they couldn't think of Carney Wilson's name, so they said the fat
girl. But it's
it was a dig.
I mean, I did look like her.
Wilson Phillips, and they would have went, oh, the fat one in their head.
No, they definitely were trying to be funny. And then I went back to my dorm room. I cried.
Bless you.
I ate a cake.
A pie, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a cake eater?
I'm more of a cake person. I love you. And then I decided I'd get back at that person and stand up for myself. And I came out the next show, hosting the show, singing Hold On For One More Day with a big box of donuts. And I just had jelly dripping down my chin and the whole thing. And then the heckler gave me a thumbs up and said, I really respect you. Yeah. Like, I was just trying to be funny. I wasn't really trying to be like mean or whatever. But I like that you can make fun of yourself. And you know, gave me the finger at the same time. And I appreciate that. And I said, oh, something clicked about doing stand up, because that was some of my first jokes, which I still use today. Mm-hmm. And
I've been using my closer for like 7 years.
Okay,
good. Anyway,
oh, I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, someday I'm going to write a new closer, but until that day comes, I don't have a better joke than this one.
I'm like,
a lot of people,
still,
like, sometimes you write a good joke.
And it's still relevant.
Why is there anything wrong with that?
It's still relevant. It's still about me.
We let bands have lighter songs. Why can't we have lighter jokes?
Yeah, it's still authentically me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just a little bit more in the past tense since I'm lighter now than I was then.
Yeah.
But getting back to that, it's like when I do that self-deprecation, it's just, I'll get like some really pretty skinny bitch drunk girl, like, you're so beautiful. Like at the end of a show, like, you should make fun of yourself. You're pretty. We should make out. And I was like, what? Male comics everywhere. Yeah, jealous. Yeah. And I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we want to be on Liz's next show. She makes out with girls after. But I think it also, when we're looking out, we don't look at ourselves. And when you have an issue with your body, the mirrors are small in your house. They don't go all the way to the floor. You're not often seeing every little angle of yourself. And then when you lose that weight, you still don't see. You're still seeing just the face or whatever.
Yeah.
That often doesn't do much changing. And you go out, and then when people tell you, like I was doing fat jokes, lost 80 pounds, said I'm still, you know, a big fat bastard. And people were like, you're not fat. And I'm like, I am fat. Well, comparatively to, you know, a lot of hungry people, yes, I am quite fat. But in a room, I'm just the big guy.
It's just my material is about my issues, and everyone has issues. Yeah. Everyone has struggles in life. And so when I talk about mine, I hope people can relate to that and not, you know, give me a pep talk every time. I'm like, they're jokes, relax.
Yeah,
like, I'm okay with me. That's why I can make the jokes.
Yeah.
But I'm just not really about, like, looks or and I did work as a plus size model too,
yeah, you did.
So
of course you did. Look at it.
I know.
And I always say, you know, if you don't know what a plus size model is, the difference between a plus size model and a regular model, it's pretty much the same thing except for the runway shows, because we have to use LaGuardia. But other than that,
I like it, but you are awful.
And
then you're like, perpetuating a negative stereotype.
Oh my God, that's so mean. That's a horrible mean joke. I'm like, it's ridiculous. It's funny.
Yeah. Nobody's using LaGuardia. It's too busy. Let's just start with that. I love that you were in improv first. I started in improv.
Yeah.
Do you feel that that gave you a leg up into comedy?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a different muscle, for sure, than stand up and performing your own material about your own life and you know.
Oh, it's a way different muscle.
Yeah. I went back to improv and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Oh no, really?
I couldn't do the reverse. I didn't trust people. I'm like, I'm all by myself. Now I'm like, no, I'm not gonna.
When I went back into improv, I actually enjoyed not having to do it all myself.
Yeah.
There was a part of it where, like, when I was going into comedy, I found it very hard to think of myself talking alone on stage because I'm always conversational.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm funnier saying something that after you've said. Like, I'll ice your cake. But I don't often make a good cake on my own.
I know. Oh. He's obsessed.
And so it was hard for me to go on stage alone and spend that time talking alone. So once I did, I thought it would be hard to go back into improv. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, right. There's somebody else. No, you think of the next thing. I'm going to sit here.
I did improv for about a year, and I don't think I can ever go back.
Really? Honestly, I think you are just one of those, because your conversation, like when I listen to you talking with the people you talk to, it's sparkling. You're attentive, you're present.
Sparkling.
And I think that that's part of what improv is. You have to be attentive and present.
Do you know what I'll tell you?
You do. You have to be in the moment. And I think that helps with stand-up for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Being in the moment.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
But I used to do a show that was based off of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Friday nights in Ottawa back in the day. And whenever we get to song, I can't do that. And it would always, someone always says reggae. Okay, can I just say, if you're in the audience of an improv show,
stop saying reggae.
And you go, guys, I've got a really unique one. I'm going to say reggae. No, everyone always says reggae. Anyway, I can't do song to save my life.
No.
And so every night, I would literally just have a complete meltdown.
But did the audience enjoy
it? A lot of pressure.
Like, was it funny?
No, I was always the worst part of the song.
But I find sometimes, especially if people are coming back regularly to a show, and they start to get to know you as an individual in the ensemble, and they know that particular person has meltdowns during songs, it becomes the thing where we're going to make Allison do a song. Goldie Hawn during Laugh-In could never tell a joke because she could never remember it, and they were taking so long to film her to tell the joke properly, they just said, just have her do it. And it became so funny that they actually stopped letting her read the joke before she'd look at it once and go out and have to, they wanted her to mess it up. I'm just saying, Allison, you missed an opportunity.
Okay. Well, I was 20 and I had low self-esteem and I couldn't handle it.
That's how all improv starts.
Well, your conversation is sparkling.
Thank you, sir. Now, we are speaking to Liz Russo. You can see more from her at thelizrusso.com.
Yes.
I love that you're a the. I'm a the.
Are you?
The Richard Rider on Twitter. Like, just,
I always, no. I never know if it's the or the either.
How
could I don't
know.
It's
like,
the,
what is it in Canada? I don't know. Is it different?
I say the because
I'm pretentious. We flip flop all the time in
depends.
Canada.
If you're American, we say the just to freak you out.
Yeah. Well, it was LizRusso.com and then I let it lapse. So someone bought
someone
it.
Stole it.
Some other Liz. And they're like, some lesser Liz.
You can have it back for $10,000. I'm like, I'm doing comedy in Iowa. Like, no.
Yeah,
I have
no,
I'll be a the.
$10 and that has to last me 2 months.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And if you are in Toronto this weekend, you can see her at the She Dot Festival, which starts tonight and runs through Sunday.
Great festival.
And I'm going to imagine that on your website is all your other tour dates.
Yes.
And so you can find her there. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me. And Ward missed out. What can
he
say?
Really did.
He didn't show up to his own threesome.
That's horrible. So rude. Although
I'm really just
a
camera holder.
All right. Richard Rider is filling in for Ward Anderson. I am Allison Dore, and we will be right back with more. You are listening to SiriusXM Channel 167, Canada Talks. Was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid. Sick a cigar right from Cuba Cuba. I just bite it. It's for the look. I don't light it. Ill way to AMA on the hand. Stay foreplay. Give it up, Jiggy. Make it feel like foreplay. Yo, my cardio is infinite. Ha ha. McWillie style's all in it. Getting jiggy with it.